This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
How many of you have ever been to a town in Florida called St. Augustine? Northeast Florida, on the coast, just south of Jacksonville, Florida. I always wondered why it was that St. Augustine got that name. It was named after Augustine, saint in the Catholic Church. And the way they got that name is when the explorer from Spain came and landed on the beach there, he named that area after Augustine because it was the feast of Augustine in the Catholic Church that particular day that he landed. And that's why it got the name. You say, what are you talking about Augustine for? For this reason. When Augustine was on his deathbed, if you can believe this, he's dying, and he knows he's just got days at the most to live. He asked for a painter to be brought into his bedroom. And on the wall of where his deathbed was in front of him, he had the painter paint the words to Psalm 32 that we study today. I find that intriguing. It meant so much to him as a forgiven sinner. He led quite a wild life, if you study the life of Augustine. Very wild life in his younger days, and God converted him through a man by the name of Ambrose, who led him to Christ, and he wrote some powerful stuff that's still read today in Christian circles. The City of God is one of his writings. And Augustine said, I want Psalm 32. Written on the wall in front of me, so that every time I open my eyes before I die, I want to see these words because it meant something to him personally. When I read the words to this today, I want you to picture reading these on the wall of your house. Or more than that, maybe reading them on the wall of your heart. On the wall of your heart, because it spoke to Augustine about God forgiving him. We're in the seven penitential psalms, the book of Psalms, which simply means there are seven psalms that King David wrote after committing the sin of adultery and then the sin of murder. Probably went a year or two without feeling much of anything, according to some Bible scholars, but finally the Lord convicted him. And his conviction is heavy upon him. It's sapping his strength. He's overwhelmed by his guilt. And he writes seven penitential psalms that have to do with conviction. When God convicts is the title of this series. So today we're looking at two of the seven, Psalm 32, Psalm 38. Let it speak to you as we continue this series today. Psalm 32, David is speaking. He's the author. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or woman whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. We're going to talk about what it means to have a deceitful spirit in a few minutes. When I kept silent, in other words, I kept my mouth shut and I didn't acknowledge my sin, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night, meaning over and over, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then, most important usage of the word then in the Bible, in my opinion, right in verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. You forgave the guilt of my sin. Then one verse from Psalm 38, verse 4. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Well, I don't know if you've ever felt overwhelmed with guilt. I talk to people all the time that have that sense in their life. This message series will continue on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. Noel Coward was a famous playwright in England. And according to Rick Ezell, a minister in Greer, South Carolina, he sent an identical note to 20 of the most famous people in London. Noel Coward's note simply read this: everybody has found out about what you are doing. If I were you, I would leave town right away. Everybody has found out what you were doing. If I were you, I would get out of town right away. Supposedly, all 20 people left town. All 20. And then Rick Ezell, in commenting on this little incident, says this: what if you opened your mail one day and found such a note in your mail? What would race through your mind? Income tax you failed to report? The time you spent doing something you know you're ashamed of to this day? The expense account you overinflated? The lies you told about an honest, hardworking individual? The misrepresentation of facts you informed a potential client? And he said that all of us can flood through our memories and sift through our minds what we might bring to mind if we were told everybody knows what you're doing or knows what you've done. You better get out of town. Today I want to talk to you about the power of the release of guilt by the Lord Himself. Because the Lord has the power, and He's the only one I know of that has the authority and the capacity and the wherewithal and the willingness to say, I forgive you. I forgive you of your sin. I want to talk about the last verse I read in chapter 38, verse 4. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I want you to write this in your notes. God will never let you drown in your despair if you come to Him. He will never let you drown in your despair. Guilt does have power. Guilt is a sense of dread over the past. And guilt can be like a phantom pain. If you've ever known someone who's lost a limb, an amputee, and they talk about phantom pain, they are talking about actually feeling pain in the limb that isn't there. Never knew anything about it until my brother-in-law, who was a sergeant with Cincinnati Police Department, lost a leg at the prime of his career. And I remember the day when he was grimacing in pain, and I said, phantom pain? He said, yeah, phantom pain. He said, it's awful. Feeling pain in a limb that doesn't exist, it's gone. But he felt tremendous pain in the leg that had been amputated, in the area of that leg. And so it is. Guilt is like phantom pain. It haunts you. And guilt is dread over the past. And isn't it good to know that the Lord says, I'll never let you drown in your despair. I'll give you relief from it, because that's what David found out in verse 1 of chapter 34. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The word forgiven means to lift away. The Lord lifts away the guilt of our sin, and only He has the capacity to do that. I remember hearing about a woman by the name of Marg Honita Lasky, who was one of England's best-known novelists. She was a secular humanist and avowed atheist. Shortly before she died, in a moment of candor in a television interview, she said, what I envy about Christians is forgiveness. I have no one to forgive me. I want you to go home with today, you do have somebody who said, I will forgive. The Lord God Almighty commits to you because of what happened on the cross. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He, meaning Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to this. That's either true or it's a lie. If it's a lie, it's one of the biggest lies that's ever been foisted on mankind. But if it's true, it's one of the greatest truths in your life and mine. If we confess. Verse 2, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. I was really intrigued by that phrase, the spirit where there is no deceit. It's possible for a man or woman to have what the Bible calls a deceitful spirit. You say, what's that mean? Have you ever talked about a friend or a relative or a stranger that you know, somebody you really don't know, but you say, you know, that guy is able to lie at the drop of a hat? Well, you know, she's able to lie about things when she doesn't even need to lie, but she's such an experienced liar, she can lie about everything and anything. And we all have come in contact with people like that in our lives, and maybe it describes us at one point or another, but sometimes it's not just a person who is a habitual liar, an accumulative liar where the lies build, but it's more than that, and they have a spirit of deception where lying has become a part of their personality. where the accumulative lying and the habitual lying, according to Dr. Scott Peck, turns a person into a person of the lie rather than a person of the truth. Which one describes you? Person of the lie or person of the truth? And blessed, David says, is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Why is he talking about deceit in connection with acknowledging sin? Because the greatest form of denial is not the denial of death, but it's the denial of sin. Would you listen to that again? The greatest denial in your life is not a denial of death, it's a denial of sin in your life and in my life. We become masters at denying the sin that's in our life, just like David did. He had not only had an affair with Bathsheba, he had the husband of the woman that he was having an affair. He had the man murdered, sent him up to the battle, in the front of the battle of the suicide squad, and he was killed. And then he married the wife of Uriah. And you say, why did he do it? Because he wanted to. Why do most people do anything? Because they want to. Why do you or I do anything we do? Because we want to, and in that can include sin in our life. Verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped in the heat of the summer. What does it mean to keep silent? Let me tell you what it means. It can mean different things to different people. For some people, keep silent means you don't say a word about it to anybody, including the Lord. But for some people, keeping silent means you blame other people. You ever blamed somebody else for what you did? Sure you have. So have I. You do something wrong and then you blame somebody. Anne Lamott is a writer. And in her book called Plan B, Thoughts on Faith, she said, blame was always my first response in life. Figure out whose fault things are, then try to manipulate that person into correcting his or her behavior so that you can be comfortable. It's not just Anne Lamott whose first response is blame. It could be anybody in this room, any man or any woman in this room, where blame is your first response. I got to blame somebody. I can't deal with the reality of my own sin and my own shortcomings and my own faults. I've got to blame somebody. Well, tomorrow we'll continue this message from two of the penitential psalms, Psalm 32 and Psalm 38. They just may say more to your life than you and I are willing to admit. It's a powerful passage that we study on forgiveness, God's capacity to forgive. Tomorrow on Crosshope. Our website is crosshope.org. Some of you are familiar with a TV show called NCIS. I've never seen it, not because of any moral superiority. I'm just not interested in those type of shows. I think Mark Harmon stars as Leroy Jethro Gibbs in the show. It's a show about a naval investigative team who looks into the murder of naval and marine personnel each week. John Walton, the minister in New York City, says he describes it as a kind of forensic CSI with a military theme. Gibbs is the seasoned ex-Marine who heads the detective unit, and he has created certain rules that are inviolate, they can't change, and they're called Gibbs rules. And rule number 6, according to this author, is that you are to never apologize. Gibbs has the rule, you never apologize. Never apologize. John Walton, minister of First Presbyterian Church in New York City, says that makes for great TV, but it makes for a lousy marriage. May make great television or great movie, but it makes for a lousy family life where there are people in that family who never apologize for anything. And you see, inherent with the idea of never apologizing is that there's never any acknowledgement of wrongdoing. If you are a man who says, I never apologize, I never acknowledge anything wrong, if you're a woman who does the same thing, I want to tell you something. It may be one of the most serious problems in your life. And that may surprise you to say that, but I really believe that. If you're a person who can never apologize and never acknowledge wrongdoing, there's something wrong in your spirit. because healing comes to the marriage, healing comes to the family, healing comes to any relationship where somebody finally comes up and says, I've sinned. Will you forgive me? That's when healing begins. That's when release begins. That's when deliverance comes, when we acknowledge our sin. The most important verse in this whole passage of chapter 32 and 38 today is verse 5 of chapter 32. I want to bring it up again. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. I want you, those of you that take notes, to write these words down, because I'm going to give you the definition of confession. It's not what you think it is. Confessing sin is brokenness that leads to repentance, that leads to a change of behavior. Listen to that again. I really believe this is powerful. Confession is brokenness. David was broken. He was a broken man by his sin. You read Psalm 6, you read Psalm 32, 38, 51, and so on, the seven penitential psalms, you see a broken man. And brokenness led to repentance, which means to turn. That's all repentance means. And the repentance then leads to a change of behavior. And somebody perhaps needs to do that today, where it speaks to your life in a personal, private way. I acknowledged my sin. I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive the guilt of my sin. You did forgive the guilt of my sin. Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, I share a concluding story that I wasn't planning to share. Occasionally something gets into a message that wasn't in your notes, it wasn't planned. That's what happens tomorrow on our program. It's a powerful story out of my family I want to share with you tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. I'm always interested in what comes up in a sermon that I had no plan to say. I mean, first service, at the end of the sermon, I just started talking about an uncle of mine. It's not in my notes. I had no intention of speaking about him, but I did. I've told the story years ago. But I related it somehow in the context of first service. I want to close with it. I had an uncle who was an alcoholic most of his adult life. Lost his job. Lost his family. Lost his house. You name it. He lost it all to his struggle with alcohol. Came to my dad one day at the church office and said, John, I need your help. Can you just help me? Can you talk with me? Can you meet with me? What do I need to do? He just was a broken man, very broken. So my dad said, I want you to meet me once a week at the local restaurant. And my dad did something. He said he didn't even know why he did it. He just did it at the end of his first meeting. He said, I want you to memorize Psalm 1 for next week. For our meeting. Six verses, that's all it is, just six verses. And here's what my uncle said. You want me to memorize six verses of the Bible? He said, I can't even remember my social. My mind is so gone, I can't even remember where I live sometime. I can't give you an address, my house number. I can't remember my social security number, and you want me to memorize six verses of the Bible? My dad said, yes. I want you to memorize six verses of the Bible. Psalm 1. The next week rolled around. He walked into the restaurant. The first thing my dad said, well. And my uncle said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he quoted verbatim Psalm 1. Then my uncle, not my dad, my uncle said, next week I'm going to memorize the first chapter of the book of James, 27 verses, because he'd already started doing it. And the next week, 27 verses. And every week for months, and I think a year or two, they met. My uncle would quote a chapter of the Bible from memory. A man whose brain cells had been deadened by all the alcohol over the years was able to memorize the Word of God. I'm not saying it was a miracle. I am saying a miracle happened in his life because of the words he remembered. There's power in knowing and memorizing and committing to memory the Word of God. Why did I tell that story? Because I go back to the story I began with. Augustine lived a wild life as a young man. Came to Christ as an adult, came to Christ later in his life, and then says to someone that's around his deathbed, bring an artist in and have them paint on the wall these words, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and the Lord forgave me the guilt of my sin. You understand now why he wanted those words in front of him as he was dying, because they had power. You know what? Those words have power in front of you today, and you're not even dying. Neither am I, right, at this moment. But they give life to dying men and dying women like you and like me. What's it say to you today? Psalm 32 means more to you than you think it does for this reason. You can die without owning a house. It has nothing to do with whether you make it to heaven. You may not have what you want, do what you want, go to the places you want, visit places around the world, but don't die without the forgiveness of Christ. Don't die without the forgiveness of the one who has the authority and the capacity to forgive you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.